Hello and welcome to Rangers Rundown. Tonight's episode will be somewhat abbreviated, as it's just Hayden and I, and we have things to do. For me, that is drinking all this beer. For Hayden, that is being athletic, I assume.
Yeah, Waco Softball League, MVP. Not really, they don't give out awards, but...
But if they did, it would be named for you.
If they did, I might get an Evan Grant pity vote. Man, there's a deep cut right there. Michael Young, 2011, got the MVP vote from Evan Grant.
Yeah, we'd put it on the Rangers Rundown clubhouse fridge. We'd frame your award. We'll put up a little drawing of Hayden playing softball. It'd be lovely.
Mm-hmm.
But that is what we're doing tonight. We're going to talk about softball. I think it's definitely more important than talking about anything related to the Texas Rangers. And when I say softball, I mean what the rest of the AL West is up to these days, which isn't softball at all. It's like surprisingly good baseball outside of the Houston Astros, which seems sort of weird. So like real talk, when's the last time you watched a Mariners or an A's game?
Can there be a last time if you never started?
An excellent answer. I'm trying to think. I think it's been about a week. I did watch a couple Mariners games last week for some strange reason. I'm not really sure what that was. So the Angels are a team we've talked about a bunch this year because they employ baseball guys like Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. Also Cole Calhoun, who was hilariously terrible for a couple of months, but has actually been pretty good since coming off the disabled list, which is irritating, but whatever. Shohei has been only batting, not pitching. Makes him a little bit less super entertaining, but he's still pretty fun. He's still super fast, which keeps surprising people that he's so athletic. I kind of wish his arm was healthy enough that he could throw it all so he could play the outfield, because it would be fun to see what he could do out there. But Angels have been fading fast, kind of to the credit of Seattle and Oakland, who have just like very surprisingly kept very much in the American League like wildcard race, sort of.
Well, and the Mariners took an early claim to the kind of that second wildcard spot that goes to the non-Yankee or Boston division. And it was kind of assumed that, you know, they would take care of that spot. And then there's the six playoff teams are already wrapped up by mid-June or early June even. But the way that things are right now, the A's, who I wouldn't have predicted to be very good. Maybe touching 500, but right now they're well over 500. They are, I think, let me do some math. It's 12 games over 500 right now. That's more than a little. They're playing really well. They're surging right now, and they find themselves only 5.5 games back of Seattle. Which, how far back were we from Houston when we made the Cole Hamels trade? I think it was 7 games back. So not that I expect the A's to be buyers, but they got plenty of time. They don't have anything to worry about. If they just keep playing, you know, put their heads down and keep playing well, then they could have a really nice race coming down the stretch.
Yeah, so I see them as being 5.5 out as well for the second wild card. You know, one of those wild cards, as we discussed, I think last week, is pretty much a foregone conclusion. Either New York or Boston will win the AL East, and the other will be the first wild card team. They are out in front of everybody. I mean, Seattle's actually relatively close, but I don't see Seattle playing at the same level that New York and Boston are going to. Those teams are just crazy talented, top to bottom. I think New York and the top three pitching staffs in the American League are Houston and New York and Boston, and the top three offenses in the American League are Houston and New York and Boston, and they have... I mean, Houston's bullpen is probably the weakest thing between the three teams. The Red Sox pen outside of Craig Kimbrell isn't astonishingly good, but it's fine. And the Yankees pen is pretty strong. Mm-hmm. So they're all three are probably looking to add relievers, which seems to be everybody, as I think you talked about. Everyone could use more relievers. The Royals showed us how valuable even just having relievers is. But these are three like super teams right now, and Seattle's like right behind them, which I think is very surprising. I think most people would not have told you that, could not tell you unless they really really follow this stuff, who the number two wildcard team is. And I was just surprised to see how quick or how close Oakland had made it, because they looked as out of it as Texas was early on, and they have played some really really good baseball. Like they've got a pretty solid lineup top to bottom. You know, they're carrying some mediocre bats. Lucroy is not hitting well, which isn't surprising. Although I want to say I read the other day that his defense has recovered from being the worst in baseball to at least being passable. They had a couple of guys who aren't really hitting. Marcus Semien hasn't been hitting super well this year, and they've had a lot of injury issues, which is certainly hurting their offense. They're playing some dreg players, but Chris Davis keeps hitting home runs. I think he's like top three in baseball over the last like 4 years, something like that.
It's his numbers are super impressive.
They're crazy good. Like he's, I'm just gonna pull up his BRF page here.
Yeah, he's kind of obscured in Oakland. But yeah, it's one of those things where it relieves me to see how good he is, because we see how good he is because he just keeps hitting home runs against the Rangers. You make it through a series with one Chris Davis home run allowed, and that's a win.
How many home runs has he hit since the beginning of the 2016 season?
16 season. So that's 2.5 seasons. I'm gonna tell you
386 games. 1500 at bats.
1,500 at-bats. I bet you he's gone yard 17 times.
106.
Ooh, that's close.
Yeah.
Still, I mean, that's ambitious.
I know he's in the top couple. They pop that graphic up during A's games every once in a while, and I saw it a few weeks ago, and I was, like you said, I'm not surprised, because as a Rangers fan, I see Chris Davis just kick the crap out of my team every couple of weeks. But I'm still surprised that Chris Davis is that good against everybody. Like,
that's what I'm saying. Just, yeah.
He mashes. Like, yeah, he's a good player. He cannot defend. He's basically Shinsu Chu, but with power instead of walks, which neat. But
you know, he's going to be a free agent pretty soon too, which is interesting. But that's
going to be a very interesting player to see what the market looks like for sure. He is a free agent. He's ARB eligible this offseason, I believe, or next offseason, and he'll be a free agent in 2020. And obviously, you're asking that he keeps his production high the next two seasons, but if he has two more seasons that look more or less like these last couple of being, you know, a well above average hitter, if not, you know, a superstar hitter with lots of power, no real defensive acumen, he doesn't take a lot of walks. We'll see what that looks like on the market. But he is just a part of this like surprisingly good Oakland lineup, and they've got some pitchers who've been very good for them. Sean Manaea, of course, has been at times unhittable and generally pretty good. Daniel Mengden was having a good season until he started having some problems with injuries and struggled pretty hard. I know the Rangers contributed a little bit, but they've gotten contributions out of Frankie Montas, and Trevor Cahill has been effective when he's been healthy. Kendall Graveman has not. Kendall Graveman is bad. I like Kendall Graveman. He's part of the Josh Donaldson trade. It's always funny to me when Kendall Graveman sucks against the Rangers. It's like it's just like a double insult on the whole Josh Donaldson deal.
The baseball karma, baseball hates the Rangers deal.
Yeah, it's like still the Josh Donaldson trade too. It was such a dumb trade. Like, I still don't understand why Oakland did that or why they got what they got for Josh Donaldson.
Like, yeah,
it was Graveman. Was Triggs in that deal? I know Franklin Barreto was the number one guy in it.
Yeah, I don't know about those pieces.
It's fine, but it was not a particularly robust return.
And they gave up an MVP.
Yeah, they gave up that.
Yeah,
a pretty decent. Very he's Oakland. Okay.
Yeah,
They have a nobody, no name bullpen. Blake Treinen is the only guy I think anybody would know, just because he's on top of a lot of leaderboards. His ERA is under 1. His ERA plus is 415. Blake Treinen just does not allow home runs, and he strikes out everybody. 11 strikeouts per 9, 0.2 home runs per 9. That's a pretty good recipe for success. But Lou Trevino has been really, really good for them as well. 1.3 ERA. Like, these are just guys you wouldn't have thought of. But, you know, Yusmeiro Petit has been serviceable for them. Emilio Pagan has been serviceable for them. This is a good team. Oakland has been, I think, at times a bit unlucky. But, especially like with their injury luck, has been pretty bad. And they had a crappy start to the season. But like you said, they've been playing really, really great ball for the last, I don't know, 5 weeks or so. And they are storming up on the other team we wanted to talk about, Seattle. This is a divided team, and I think you had a stronger take on Seattle. So you want to give us the breakdown on the Mariners this year?
Yeah, so the story with the Mariners pretty much has to start through the you got to jump through the hoop of run differential and record in one run games and all that junk. Notice that I called it junk. So disclaimer, kind of putting this out there first. So Rangers fans will know that the 2016 Rangers, who led the American League in victories, was often maligned in publications across the country due to the fact that they were like 32-10 in one run games or something, maybe even better than that.
I think it was even better. I think it was a +8 run differential over the whole season.
Yeah, which is remarkable. But they did end up leading the league in wins, and all the haters and losers, you know, call us frauds. And then Yu Darvish and Cole Hamels went out and laid eggs against Toronto, and it was utterly humiliating. So I'm very, this is a the topic of record in one run games is a touchy subject for me, and I get defensive reflexively. So there's one disclaimer out of the way. Another one is that I am I wouldn't say a closeted Mariners fan, but I feel for the Mariners because they haven't been to the playoffs for so long. I like their uniforms. I like their stadium. I like a lot of their players, namely King Felix and Nelson Cruz. Before Cano had the steroids thing, I mean, that's a smooth guy to watch. It's enjoyable. So pulling for the Mariners, kind of all things else being equal, the Rangers not being a factor, I'll pull for the Mariners. So that disclaimer out of the way. Their record right now is, I just had it pulled up, and it is
58-35.
Yeah, which is really impressive. Their Pythagorean record is 48-45, so they're outplaying their Pythag by 10 games in half a season. So that is going to be a, you know, even more gaudy number if this trend continues, which, again, people will call them frauds and all this kind of stuff, and then they'll maybe get exposed in the playoffs, or maybe they'll fade fast and the A's will catch them and they won't even make the playoffs and everybody will say, I told you so. But what my opinion on this is that, and I don't watch Mariners games, I don't follow them closely, but what I do know about them is that they have a good bullpen and they have a good team kind of overall. I mean, that their record, no matter how you slice it, they're a good team. And I just think that there's more nuance and skill to winning a one-run game than just like randomly losing it. I don't see those games as coin flips. Whereas maybe the math does. Maybe the math would give, say that on average a better team will only lose five or 10% more games than a bad team. I don't know. But what my gut says, my baseball gut, is that it does take a certain amount of skill and skill level on your roster to say, oh, we just got up by one because we have a good offense or we have pretty good starting pitching. It's now the sixth inning. We're up by one, and we're just going to go 7, 8, 9, slam the door with our good relievers, and we won because we're better than you. We did not win by one run because we are lucky. That's the way that I see one-run games. To me, I don't see that narrative being pushed a lot, maybe because I'm stupid and nobody else would repeat what I'm saying. But I think that somebody's got to stand up for them outside of Seattle, and that will be me in my King Felix shirt.
Yeah, and your King Felix shirt. Yeah, Seattle's an interesting team. I think they're a team that's a little bit playoff doomed unless they make some moves, which, you know, DePoto is all about making those moves. I'm not sure really what they've got to spend in terms of prospect currency that's going to add significant pieces. Well, DePoto is a guy who I think is fascinating, and he makes all the little like tinker fantasy trades that I like. It's sort of the approach I have to playing like fantasy baseball, for example, if I'm playing on the computer. And I like to just sort of I've never liked the realism of forcing the big trades. Like, yeah, I'm gonna put Mike Trout on the Rangers and see what happens. But like, I'll go out and I'll add little guys here and there and be like, what if the Rangers had Josh Harrison from the Pirates? And what if they had, you know, this guy or that guy? And I'll slap together like a little, my favorites little roster. I love doing the fantasy drafts in Madden football games back when those were on the PC. Shout out, I think they're coming back actually, which is kind of fun. DePoto's a lot like that. I think he loves working in the margins and like incrementally improving a team, moving stuff around, seeing what pieces click, seeing if he gets something to work. And like, obviously that has really, really worked for them very well in places like Mitch Haniger and John Segura, who they got from Arizona for Taiwan Walker, which is actually more of a big trade. Walker was a stud prospect who never really quite got it all to click with Seattle, and they moved them for like the sort of struggling John Segura, and Mitch Haniger was a top prospect.
What a trade.
But yeah, what a phenomenal trade just to find like that sort of excess value out of those guys. The D. Gordon trade was interesting in that Gordon was a guy who he bought at like a very weird valuation. So he's very good at this stuff. I'm not sure what they have to pick up a big bat or a big starter. I mean, their best pitcher right. is pretty easily James Paxton, who has been not like super phenomenal this season. He's not been a great James Paxton. He's still scary and very good. But, I mean, Felix has been largely ineffective and he's hurt. I don't believe in Mike Leake at all. Wade LeBlanc just signed a contract extension, which is like super weird to me because I don't think of Wade LeBlanc as being very good. But right. there you go, Wade LeBlanc. He had headline news. I got a notification about it. Edwin Diaz is like a hydra. That guy's insane.
He is can't beat so him. Good.
I truly despise the fact that he plays for the Mariners. It's so disgusting.
He's got a .79 WHIP.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Unhittable.
He's great. I like James Passos, but I just... I mean, Cruz and Haniger are the big bats in this lineup. When they get Cano back, he'll be great. But, of course, he's ineligible for the playoffs, which
true.
I wonder what that means for the team. Even if they do manage to land that wild card slot, this is going to be an interesting race to follow. And I'm really glad that it is an interesting race because it kind of looked like the American League was going to suck.
And oh, yeah.
we're going to have, like, not only a wild card race, but an intradivisional wild card race. So these two teams should, in theory, play each other a bunch down the stretch, and those games are going to be pretty much head-to-head for a wild card match. So I'm pulling up the schedule right here.
Ah.
We've got...
I'm doing the same thing.
Boop, 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 boop.
Which is...
I see three...
Let's see.
Four, five, six, seven. 10 games against each other left.
Okay.
And they're going to have 10 games down the
stretch. At the end of the last week of September.
Yep. They play their second to last series against each mm-hmm. other. And then Seattle plays Texas. And Oakland, I assume, plays Houston, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, so... Hopefully those are exciting games because, like you said, the American League looked to be wrapped up a while back and was kind of awful. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, the National League seems to somewhat be the polar opposite, which is fun.
Yeah,
but
I mean, and technically, Los Angeles is in this still. Like,
yeah.
I think they're technically in it. I don't think they are now. Garrett Richards, of course, was announced today. He has UCL damage and is getting Tommy John surgery. Richards, of course, had a UCL problem in 2016 and elected to rehab it and did so successfully and was able to pitch, although he ended up being hurt in an unrelated injury for most of last year. He had like a...
Yeah.
What was his problem last year?
Was it an elbow thing?
It wasn't an elbow, something else. It was like a lat strain or a knee sprain, something stupid. Because yeah, knee was the first thing he hurt. I think he blew out his ACL a couple years ago, came back, and then tweaked his UCL. And then I think he sprained like a shoulder or he hurt his back or something. I actually don't remember what his injury was. But he got that, and now it looks like he has a new damage in his elbow. We'll have Tommy John. And without Ohtani, without Richards, with this Pujols. Version of like Cole Calhoun and Albert Pujols, I don't think the Angels stay in this race at all, which is a little unfortunate, especially with also Ian Kinsler struggling.
Mm-hmm.
The Angels were a team that if you put a healthy Richards and Shohei on them, there may be a player in the third base market, and that kind of helps drive up Beltre's price. So disappointing there.
Yeah. Well, and as I said on previous episodes, I mean, I hate the Angels. I absolutely I cannot forget my hate for the Angels, even though we haven't really been jockeying with them for the division for quite some time. But like, admittedly, I really, really liked their offseason, and I didn't think that they would contend with Houston, but I thought that they would be in Seattle's position right now. Seattle's only 2.5 back of Houston right now, as opposed to Los Angeles is 13.5 back of Houston. I mean, it's got to be a really disappointing season in Los Angeles.
Yeah,
because like the expectations were pretty high. I mean, I think a lot of people were like objectively just saying, "Man, this is a really nice offseason. They got a nice little team they put together. If they can stay healthy," in big bubble letters, you know, if they can stay healthy, like balloons floating over Angel Stadium, then, you know, you might have a chance to make some noise and at least get in the wild card and, again, be in the position that Seattle's in. But just kind of, that's not the way that this has season has turned out for them. And
it sucks because like some of the parts, like Shohei Ohtani, the everyone kind of assumed coming over, yeah, he can pitch. And the people who were doubting him said, I don't think he can hit major league pitching. I think he's going to be too vulnerable to the velocity. He's not going to be able to hit it. He's got a 141 OPS plus. He's slashing 279, 359, 515 with 7 home runs. He's been very good at the plate, actually. He was a very good pitcher. He was a very effective pitcher while he was healthy, and it's truly unfortunate that he got hurt. I mean, he had a 131 ERA plus and a 141 OPS plus. Like, that is a true star two-way player. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. And Angelton Simmons is having kind of a career year with the bat. Mike Trout is having a career year by Mike Trout standards. I mean, he's OPS plusing almost 200. He's having his best season. He's still on pace for some insane numbers. Justin Upton is not quite Justin Upton, but he's still a good player. Like, Albert Pujols is not quite completely dead. He's just bad, but he's not Cole Calhoun bad. But then Cole mm-hmm. Calhoun was Cole Calhoun bad. And Ian Kinsler fell off a bridge. And Luis Valbuena has been garbage. And the rest of their rotation has been hurt and largely bad when they've been around. Like, Tyler Skaggs is good, but he's hurt. Garrett Richards is good, but he's hurt. Nick Tropiano is bad and also hurt. Like, Andrew Heaney has been mediocre. It just sucks. The parts that, like, you wouldn't have expected. If I told you, at the beginning of the season, turns out Shohei is a star player both ways, and Angelton Simmons has his best year of the bat ever, and Mike Trout has his best year of the bat ever, and Pujols plays playable-ish. Like, your pitching staff have great numbers. You'd have said, wow, this is a really good Angels team, and nope. Oops. Baseball.
You can't predict baseball, and that's... Over a period of 6 months, so much can happen. I mean, it's fun, and it often is unpredictable, but it will always break your heart.
Yeah. So I don't want to predict over a period of long months, but maybe over a period of about 2 months, because something else that you had brought up was mm-hmm. like Texas's standings
mm-hmm.
or reverse standing position.
Yeah. So we've done really well lately in the last 3-4 weeks, winning more series than we've lost for sure, albeit against bad competition, but playing well. It's fun to win. It's fun to watch guys have success, especially when a lot of them you're just hoping that they take steps forward. But kind of the underpinning emotion that I've had while watching us win more than we lose is like, but what if we don't want to get the number 14 pick? Why can't, please, can we not mess this up? Well, today I checked tankathon.com, which should be your homepage. For the first time in a while, and we're still pretty much treading water at the number 8 pick right now, wedged between San Diego at 7 and Cincinnati at 9. So mm-hmm. yeah, we are worse than the Reds, which is wild. They're another team that's
Cincinnati's been insanely good. The problem is their first month was so bad that there's no way they get into contention, really.
They fired their manager. That's how bad they were.
Like 2 weeks into the season, it was incredibly. It was so bad. Oh, this Reds team is completely listless, and they've been just stellar.
Yeah.
Also, Michael Lorenzen is incredible. I love him.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. Man, the story surrounding his home run and like his dad passing away and everything else is legitimate. Baseball is very, very good. My heart is exploding. Like this is what I live for, kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's really top-notch. Great.
If you don't know who Michael Lorenzen is, look him up.
He's baseball's other two-way player.
Yeah, but he's a relief pitcher exclusively, right? Or kind of
That's correct. He's a swing man. He's not very good, unfortunately. Yeah. He was like kind of okay last year, or in 16, sorry. He was sort of fine last year, and this year he's okay.
Okay. Well, when you're on the Reds, that gets you a lot of notoriety when you're okay. It's like they'll throw a parade for you. Anyways, so the way that I kind of see it right now is that there's three teams that are far and away. We have no chance of passing. That's going to be the Orioles, Kansas City, and the White Sox. They kind of have bunkered down.
Baltimore's insane. Their winning percentage, since I went through that whole thing with you and Mike a couple weeks ago where I was projecting mm-hmm. out their stuff, their winning percentage has gone down. Down.
And they still have Machado.
Down. And they will still have Machado, according to you.
Yes, I want to put that again, just so it'll be easier for me to find the exact like moment where I said it. The Orioles are going to hang on to Machado. He's not going to get traded because they're going to play chicken and they're going to lose, and then they're going to try to put him through waivers in August, and like some bottom feeding team is just going to be like, LOL, wouldn't it be funny if we just claimed Machado? They're going to claim him, offer nothing for him, and Baltimore's going to keep him, and it's going to be hilarious.
So dumb. Oh, yeah, I don't see those three teams budging. They're so insanely bad that those are the top three in some order. Yeah. Probably in that order.
They're on something else. They're doing some losing steroids or something.
Get a good clump of teams here next. Miami, yep. New York Mets, Detroit, San Diego, and Texas. Texas being the one before another jump up to get to the Reds, who I think will keep getting better. And then to Minnesota, Toronto, and Pittsburgh before you get to the 500 or better teams. So yeah. I just want to touch briefly on these. Miami, the Mets, Detroit, and San Diego are the teams ahead of Texas. I think you and I both are under the impression that Texas will get worse as we hopefully see the departures of players like Shin-Soo Choo, Adrian Beltre, maybe Cole Hamels, Kenny Kella, Jake Diekman, some combination of these names. And we could even see other pieces. You know, maybe this is the year that the Rangers trade Alex Claudio for some reason, or do Mike's nightmare scenarios and trade both of Delino DeShields and Jose Leclerc for, like, I don't know, Luis Valbuena. Something really stupid. That would make Mike mad, I think. Yeah. So I think Texas is going to get worse. But San Diego, Detroit, the Mets, and Miami...
they don't have any assets to unload, really.
Oh man, the Mets do.
Well, the Mets do, but well, that's
oh boy.
But
can the Mets get worse if they get rid of their starting rotation? I'm not sure.
Man, if the Mets pull the trigger and trade either DeGrom or Syndergaard, then that will be a legitimate like, I'm going to stop everything and kind of find some stability, because that would be huge. That would be the biggest story of the deadline, no doubt. Oh my gosh, DeGrom.
Fun fact: Jacob DeGrom has more WAR than he does wins.
I do not doubt that even for a second.
6 BWAR. He's 5-4. Like, assuming he keeps pitching well, the Mets could even give him another win, and he might actually threaten finishing the season with more wins above replacement than actual pitcher wins. Which is really stupid.
It's very Mets, and I've said it before too. It's a team. It's a team that I have some kind of irrational attachment to. I don't know why. I think I like the orange.
Deeply irrational.
It's deeply irrational, and their pinstripes are sharp, I think, but yeah, it makes me feel bad to see the Mets sad.
The Mets could get worse, but like Detroit has some pieces, but I. Fulmer could go, but honestly, I don't think Fulmer has been as good as people assume he has. If they haven't watched Mike Fulmer, I've seen a couple of Mike Fulmer starts. I regrettably roster him in fantasy and stuff, so I don't know about that.
So you know.
Nick Castellanos, maybe. San Diego, I don't see them moving much of anything. Miami has Real Muto, and that's it. And they haven't traded him yet, because it's Miami, and they're going to do dumb stuff. So we'll see where Texas goes in this. But I know you have children to go beat in softball / old people.
That's right.
I know you play.
I do not discriminate.
I have to. My dog is starting to assert his authority in the house. He is climbing up onto me.
There you go.
So I'm gonna go attend to this animal. You go attend to the sport, the great game, athletic pursuits, and that's gonna do it for us here on the Rangers Rundown. We will probably not see you Sunday, Monday. We may be taking an all-star break of our own, or we may have a little Max and Mike special for everybody. But we will see you guys next week at some point, and we will recap the most important thing in sports. We will go pitch by pitch on the all-star game.
Yeah, at least it doesn't count anymore.
Oh, I'm going to live stream the home run derby. Like, I'm going to get – we should do that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I need to make sure I have some like tea for our throats just so that we don't wear ourselves out. Back.
I was going to say, we're going to be better than Berman, at least.
I mean, because he's had practice, you know, he probably has like calluses or something on his throat. So we don't have that kind of endurance to
please
do
don't
that
let me
for
think
3 hours.
About Berman's throat calluses. This is gross. Get out of here.
All right.
Go play softball.
That's a wrap. Goodbye.